Welcome, Pinto and Sean Bean patrons. Welcome to Extra Beans.
Our next bit of our next topic, of course, we deliver to you shaken, not stirred. If you know what I'm driving at. We had a license to redefine podcasting, if you will, with this next section.
Oh, yeah.
But don't touch this next section because it's my lunch. That doesn't make any sense.
Hey, right. What's that a reference to?
Q would always, the old Q.
Yeah.
What would he say?
He'd say, don't touch that, that's my lunch, when James Bond.
Yeah.
So he was picking up.
Was that because there was an exploding sandwich or something?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't like that, do you, man? I think that was that your reaction just then was probably largely speaking the reaction of audiences across the world. In unison. We talked about James Bond, didn't we?
We did.
We did chat about Bond, and it was 00 heaven.
Oh, God.
In terms of chat, wasn't it? I've also had a very long day. We've never really been able to do this on the podcast, which is basically ask a question, how was your day?
Hi, listener. Welcome to Three Bean Salad. How was your day?
I thought that was...
We want you to turn to the person to your left and ask them, how was your day?
How are you? Mike, I once... We know that I am a metropolitan elite tosser, yeah? Mm-hmm. We can say that.
You could shorten that to one word, to be honest.
I'm a metropolitan. But so it won't be any surprise to you know that I have done yoga classes in the past.
Sure.
I once did a yoga... This is classic London, right? I once did a yoga class in London until the day that the yoga teacher at the front of the class said to everyone, you know what, before today's class, just turn to your left. And just say hi to the person next to you and just talk for a bit. 60 people stormed out. I stopped going. I mean, that, you can't, are you, what?
Did he have some emails to do or something?
I don't know. But he didn't get, he was Nordic. He didn't get London and how it works.
Okay.
But like, it was absolutely excruciating.
Did people try it though? Within the class?
Well, but people did, and it was just absolutely hideous. And I was like, I'm never doing that again.
They remembered why they didn't bother generally speaking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in Cardiff, it'd be like, you'd all be having a natter. And you know what? We're all having such a nice natter.
Right, Max. Sorry, that's it.
Oh,
right.
Sweet mother of God. Right,
that's it. No more food and salad. It's the end. It's like the end of Tetris. We've crashed. I just feel empty.
And Cardiff would be like, you know what?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Sorry. You know what? Okay, think Hopkins. Hopkins. Think Hopkins, Henry. Think Hopkins.
Not from Cardiff. Hopkins.
Think Hopkins trying to do a bad impression of Liam Neeson. He's been a long time in Galway.
You know what? We're all having...
Oh, dear.
How do you do a Welsh accent again? By the way, we've learned an important lesson recently, right? I have. Impressions is like a muscle. You've got to keep it going. You've got to keep it in use.
Yeah.
I think our listeners would be very happy for you to let that muscle wither.
So we never get to say, how was your day?
Mm. Yes, and we were saying to the listener, have a look around you. Maybe you're sat down with someone. Why not ask them how their day was? Or better still, look around and maybe someone needs a hand. Maybe someone needs a help crossing the road or...
Maybe they'll say their day was fine. Okay, now ask them again, how was your day really? Maybe they'll say it was fine again, slightly more irritably this time. Now really, really ask them. Okay, but how was your day? Really, how was it?
And if they say fine again, then say, are you sure it was fine? Because I've just ripped your balls off.
Well, it wasn't me. It was my XL bully. He's normally so friendly.
Are you sure it was fine? Because I know two XL bullies that might disagree with you. That's right. One of them has got each of your legs in its mouth. It's like sharks. You don't feel it because you go into shock. You actually don't have legs anymore.
And you won't believe that's the case until someone explains it in a point of exposition in a feature film that's been made about your life 12 years later. Until then, you'll just think you've got legs. Sorry.
So, I'm going to ask again.
How was your day? How was your day? How was your day?
How was your day? Well, Henry, can you sum it up in 20 seconds?
Well, all I'll say is, it is the end of a long day for me because I got up super early today because I had a deadline and I wanted to do some finishing touches on it. So I got up at 4:45.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I very rarely do this, but once in a while I do this. Very rarely, but I do it sometimes. I got up at 4:45.
I went to bed at 3:30. So we only had...
What?
What? An hour and a quarter between me going to sleep and you waking up? Wow. There's always a bean awake. That's what they say.
There's always a bean awake somewhere on earth. The sun never fully sets on the beans.
Yeah, I'd have taken that night shift.
Keep the watch.
Exactly. I'd have just been there, just watching, just listening, in case any sort of bean alert went off.
So why are you up, Ben? Is it because when you finish your DJ set, sometimes you're in such a hot place, you just keep dancing. Is that what happened? Yeah.
They just won't let him close the club, will they?
Go on, play Bonnie Tyler again. I've played both her hits.
Do that trick where you eat a salami and Red Leicester sandwich with one hand while spinning the Bonnie Tyler track with the other hand. I think what happened was I actually set my alarm for like 5:30. Mm. But you know when that happens, whatever. I just woke up earlier, so I woke up at 4:45. Obviously, dark outside. I had a shower. I decided to. I wanted to get a coffee and some food, breakfast.
Did you have to go to one of those like all night meat markets in Spitalfields?
I had to go to Smithfield's meat market, yeah, and buy myself an unbutchered side of cow
and a yellowfin tuna,
an almond spleen,
yeah, and half a van full of begonias, of lovely fresh begonias.
Did you manage to get coffee at that time?
I did. I managed to find a new Pret. I live near so many Prets that there's one Pret I haven't been to. So I Googled Prets and I found one which was open.
At what time?
So this was at 6.
Right.
Most of them opened at 7. One opens at 6:30. There's one near me that opens at 6. I've never even been to this Pret before. That's how many Prets are near me. There are so many. I've never had to go to this one. So I left the flat and walked to this Pret. But quite weird. It's dark. Outside, yeah. Cold, quite spooky and weird, and also it's quite disorientating in terms of where to set your fear factor. I felt, which is that it's like it's at night. So at night, walking empty streets, I'd be a bit scared.
Yeah. But it's the morning.
But it's the morning, so I didn't know whether to be scared. It was very odd, and I thought if I was to get beaten up and perhaps killed, how would that play anecdote wise for people?
What is the serial killer's bedtime? Is the big question, isn't it? Because we know it's late, but how late?
That would be one of the questions that you and Ben start your investigation with.
Well, we'd be both quite ashamed that a friend of ours had actually been murdered in the morning. Yeah. That's...
It doesn't happen that
often. We probably wouldn't talk about it that much. Try and brush under the carpet a bit.
Henry was killed, so he was murdered. I assume it was late at night. Was it really late? No. What do you mean?
He was taking a shortcut. Was he from a... So on his way home from some sort of jazz club somewhere in the beating, pulsing heart of London, was he?
He just had a shower. No, I won't be coming to the funeral. Henry Hoover, bye.
Hello, is that the police? I wouldn't bother investigating that. No. No, don't worry about it. Morning murder doesn't...
It was first thing in the morning. Yeah.
Nah.
Nah. So I walked on not knowing... But it was really, I genuinely felt like, this is a bit terrifying. I'm completely by myself. But who's going to mug you or attack you that early in the morning? I don't know. A chunky person came along, so I was a bit scared, yep. was approaching me, but they had a dog. So I noticed another thing, which is if someone has a dog, they're not scary, unless it's an XL bully. No, it's not, they're not scary, but you don't get mugged if someone's got a dog, do they?
Well, no, you don't. But the trouble with the dog is you know that that's the person who's going to discover you a bit later on. So it's still, the murder is still very much on the cards.
Oh, we're going to meet again later and I'm going to be dead.
Yeah.
The dog's going to sniff me out, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an expert in fear. Mm-hmm. I'm a master of the art of fear. That's why I've managed to avoid, touch wood, getting mugged and badly beaten up so far in my life. I'm very good at avoiding danger and stuff. I noticed that today. It's another sort of safety thing. If someone's got a dog, obviously the dog might attack you.
So you attack first. You always attack first.
Attack first. And I know the rule. The rule is you grab onto the two front legs and you
crack them open like a cracker.
You crack them open.
Christmas cracker.
So it's a bit like opening the door on a plane where the one on the right goes up to the right, the one on the left goes up to the left. You crack them open. I assumed it was going to work on the owner too, and I started with the owner. That was my first mistake.
And you do the same on planes as well, don't you? As soon as you get on a plane, you crack that door open.
Crack them open.
Get the emergency exits. Crack them. Inflate that emergency slide immediately, just in case you need it at some point later in the journey.
You've got to crack them because otherwise it's lockjaw. That's what you're facing. Otherwise, is lockjaw. So I was looking at my watch. I was like, oh god, I need to get this work done. Get dead. So I got to the cafe. Got to the Pret a Manger. I said to myself, you know what? It's very rare I do this, but essentially, I operate in a pain treat economy.
Mm-hmm. You're like a lab rat.
Yeah.
You'd literally had set yourself a brand new maze for that morning to a new location.
Essentially, that's what I'd done. But so I was like, I've got up early.
I've been shaved and vaccinated. My balls have been cut off.
But it might have been a placebo.
They're not telling me. Clever, clever.
I've been presented with a red or a blue ramp. I thought, I'm going to allow myself, because I've got up early, I'm going to allow myself to widen my usual selection away from the breakfast range and into the wider lunch range.
Golly, straight into the Korean soups.
Let's get some za'atar in this situation. And I thought, they're there, so they're for someone. Who are they for? I don't know. It's a good question. Who are they for? There are lunch, you know, there's pole in line court tuna baguettes at 6 a.m.
Yeah, because I would have thought you'd have maybe accessed a kind of secret pre-breakfast menu that nobody knows about, like the breakfast, you know?
The breakfast.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, maybe that's what it is. And again, it's a bit disappointing. It's a bit like solving Tetris. It just goes back to tuna again.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you complete Pret. It's just more tuna. So I allowed myself to get a cheese and ham baguette.
I've got a horrible feeling that's the end of the anecdote.
don't panic, it's okay. You're in safe hands. It's like a trust game, Mike. You're falling backwards into my anecdote. Okay,
still got my eyes closed. But I am still falling.
You are still falling, though.
That was just a way station, wasn't it? Yeah, a little something to keep us going.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know if you've had the cheese and ham baguette there. It's a mixture of cheese. it's a mixture of cheese and ham with lettuce and a lot of mustard.
I literally had one about an hour ago. We've already covered
that. Okay, great. At more like the correct time to have it. So this day has been bookended by two cheese and ham. Oh, no, yours was salami and cheese, wasn't it?
Oh, God, you couldn't write it, could you?
Cheese, ham, salami, romaine lettuce, mustard, gherkins, bit of vegan mayo. Not because I'm a vegan.
I mean, bloody hell, at that point, you've lost the battle. I mean, it's a bit late to get the vegan mayo out by the time you've had a cheese and two meat sandwich.
You're pissing into a tornado there, aren't you, I think, a bit, to be honest.
You're asking a lot of that vegan mayo.
That is such an insult to the people who have lovingly made and tested that vegan mayo over years of development.
They've had so many points in the process where they go, we, you know what, like a lot, we could just grate some pig leg into this, make it a lot quicker. No, we're not. We said we wouldn't do that. It's going to be vegan. It's for people that don't eat pig leg. Okay, we could just mash up this squid a bit and stick in just to get the consistency. No, we said we're not going to do that. So I got myself the cheese and ham baguette.
Mm.
Yeah. I got it in my hand.
Yeah.
Like a sort of baton.
A snack and a weapon.
I went to the till.
Yeah.
The desk. It's a bit like a sort of genius bar, but for coffee and snacks and stuff. Anyway, I went up and I said, can I have a black Americano, please? She went, yes, black and red. And I started making it. That's my coffee. Then I checked my pockets.
Yep.
I checked my other pockets. Checked my pockets again.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got my blimmin' wallet. And that's the end of the anecdote. Okay, cheers, guys. Thank you. We'll see you later. It's a get-off point for the anecdote. I mean, we will keep going. It's a save point. It's like it's a confused game. It's an off-ramp. Or it's a save station. It's a save point. We've got that far, so we can always go back there now. If I die.
Mike, do we take the blue or the red ramp? We're the lab rat. This is the experiment.
Yeah.
I think we red ramp off at this stage.
Well, you lost. Because actually the red ramp leads you back to the beginning of the anecdote. Rat boy.
Oh, God. Henry's Choose Your Own Anecdote. And brand new series of adventure books.
But unfortunately, whichever way you go, it's always a Henry anecdote, so you always sort of lose. So what would you do in that situation? I basically couldn't pay.
Get to the back and start washing them dishes.
Wash them dishes. But they don't use dishes. It's all disposable cardboard now.
That's true. Maybe start eating some disposable cardboard.
Just have to wash the legs of the people working there.
I mean, I did offer to kill some of the rats, but they're like, there's no point. That every rat you kill, another three rats replace it. You know what I mean? And I'd meticulously planned my morning. I was like, I'm going to get my tassani, get my coffee, come back, do the work. And now it's like, It's completely screwed everything. What would you have done? Bearing in mind, it's about 6:20 now and nothing's open.
How far is it to your flat from this Brett?
10-minute walk each way or 11-minute walk. So it's a 20-minute round trip.
Okay, I've got my answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, what would you do?
So there's the person behind the counter.
Yeah.
My boot, their face.
Wow.
I grab the food from the counter.
Yeah.
I turn around.
Yeah.
Another Brett employee is stocking the porridges. Fist into his balls. Bang! Somersault.
A night shift worker who's just in the corner eating a croissant comes to help them out, comes at you.
A have-a-go hero.
A have-a-go hero comes along, yeah. Caffeine-fueled. He's up for it.
They always perish, don't they, those guys?
A little plastic stirring stick up each of his nostrils, a little plastic stirring stick.
Yeah.
You stir it round, reverses his eyes the wrong way around.
Ooh. Starts attacking the back of his own head.
He starts attacking the back of his own head with half a croissant. And for a minute, everyone just stands there and enjoys the show for a bit.
Well, I make my escape. That's my plan.
Yeah, I like it.
Michael?
That's pretty decent, isn't it? I think I'm woofing them down. I'm woofing and huffing. I'm going to do the old woof and huff. Zero violence.
What's the woof and huff?
The old woof and huff. You woof it down. You consume everything in a single gulp before their very eyes. And then you huff it out of there before they can react. You're gone.
That's good.
The woof and huff.
That is good.
That is good.
That is good. The other option I had was, I remember this a short story that was read to us at school. I've never forgotten. I don't know who it's by or what it is, but it's about this kid who steals a load of oranges and he's waiting in the police room. They catch him, they bring him back to the police station and they're just him and this huge pile of oranges in a room. And then they go off and he's going to get interviewed and going to get in all kinds of trouble. And do you know what he does?
What does he do?
He eats all the oranges.
He woofed and huffed.
That's basically a woof and huff.
If he was able to hoof, it's certainly a woof.
Well, the woof is getting them down, and then there's no evidence. So then he's huffing.
Woof and huff, one, two.
It's the old woof and huff, one, two.
What was the moral of that story when you were told it?
Eat what you steal.
It was London school, Ben, so we didn't have, like, cosy morals. It's fucking, you know.
This is how you got to get ahead.
This is how you're going to get ahead. It's dog eat dog out there. Or man eats orange.
If you get pinched, eat it. Get it down you.
If you get pinched, eat it.
And that's the moral of DCI Jaffa.
Anyway, I thought for a minute.
Well, it's obvious to me. You just go back to your flat and get your card and come back.
That's what happened, yeah.
Yeah.
But I did consider trying to sweet talk, but say to them, I'm really sorry. I'm a regular customer. I mean,
I've never been here before, but I'm a regular.
You're not going to believe this. It's so unlucky. I'm a regular, but all the other preps in the area. But I thought of, like, trying to give the sob story and stuff. I've got up really early for a deadline. Can I please have a free sandwich and coffee?
Actually, but the thing is, in Pret, they have got the ability to give you free food, haven't they?
I know.
Every person who works there, I think they're allowed to give away a certain amount of food every day to people they think are fit.
For that reason, they've got to be sexy.
No, but basically the idea is it's like they can make someone's day. So they can decide who they're going to give free meals.
Oh, I see. And that's how it's generally deployed.
I should have taken my top off. It's so simple.
Yeah, the only times I've seen it actually happen, it's like, I know why that's happened.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
It's never me. Let's put it this way. It's never happened to me.
Oh.
Benjamin.
But if they could get to know your personality, that also wouldn't help. Anyway, so I walked all the way home, not in a great mood, got my card, went all the way back, got myself the sandwich and the coffee. And because it was London, when I got the coffee, she recognised me and she slightly raised her eyebrows. So we had a little bit of a moment
That's
over
it. That's a connection, isn't it?
That's nice. A real connection in London town.
Mike, you've got 4 seconds. How was your day?
Fine.
Okay.
How was your day, Ben?
Absolute disaster. Right, let's move on with the show.
Roll up, roll up. For the last topic of January.
Stick your head into our cavernous mouths. for some bonus circus chat. Have either of you ever tried meditating?
I don't think properly.
Mike, I don't see it being your bag.
No, I don't think I have the patience for it, particularly. But maybe you have to do it properly. Maybe that's the thing.
I don't think I've ever actually tried it. I'm surprised.
You've never tried it, even?
But remember, I'm currently living in the present, so I can't remember anything that's happened to me in my life.
Yeah, so you might be doing it right now. In fact, you might actually be Rory Stewart 6 months into a retreat. Yeah. Sort of manifesting as you.
Yeah, you might be the product of a meditation, Ben. Oh, my God.
Basically, every so often, I come across an interview or something with someone talking about how meditation's changed their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say to myself, you know what, I will, you know, yeah.
Gary Lineker.
He's not sitting on a chair. He actually levitates throughout much of the day. They put that chair in afterwards in CG because it freaks people out. None of them use chairs. Shearer doesn't use a chair.
But that's because of his amazingly strong thighs.
That's because of his hugely strong thighs. Okay. But either way, you're not using a chair on that show.
That's why Roy Keane's livid all the time, isn't it?
Well, he's suspended from the ceiling, isn't he?
That's right, yeah.
It wears a bit on the armpits.
Yeah. The other one is Seinfeld.
Does he?
Seinfeld meditates.
Right.
And every so often I'll watch a documentary about him talking about how he used to meditate during the making of Seinfeld.
In the writer's room. I've seen you do that, Henry. I've seen you meditate in the writer's room, Henry.
Yeah, that was meditating. Yeah. The dribble coming out of my mouth while I was, and my eyes being closed, that was part of the, and the fact that I woke up with a start going, oh, Subaka, what? And threw my pen across the room. That's how the advanced yogis do exit a meditation and get back into the present realm. Yeah. I mean, I have fallen asleep in meetings. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be mean though. I'm not, you know.
Joke's on you, mate. I'm fucking falling asleep. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think falling asleep isn't quite the way to phrase it, is it? Because some people fall asleep at work. They fall asleep. But that's an accident. You go to sleep. Tell people, I'm going to go to sleep now. And they're so baffled. They just let it happen.
I've done both. I've gone off for naps during day's work. But also what happens is when you slightly fall asleep in a meeting, you experience it not as going to sleep, but as waking up. And it's quite weird. That's weird. I'm an hour and a half into a meeting. I've just woken up. That's weird. I wasn't expecting that.
So Seinfeld would meditate during the working
Seinfeld,
day?
Seinfeld, everyone else would go off and have lunch and he'd go and sit for half an hour and do transcendental meditation.
Wow.
So I did actually once dabble. I dabbled in that world briefly.
Can you dabble in being transcendental?
Basically, half of me was living on a higher plane from the other half of me, which creates a lot of problems.
Especially for your council tax and stuff like that, isn't
Especially
it?
Especially for council tax and stuff, because obviously as a celestial being, I get certain discounts, which I don't get as a human.
Okay. What does it involve?
Well, basically, what it turns out, right, when you dabble in these things, that you end up, a lot of the time, in quite a sort of cramped and slightly damp house in Shepherd's Bush.
Right. So with your legs crossed, saying om.
No, you see, this is Mike. This is why, Mike, this world isn't for you, Mike.
I'm just trying to work out what are the practicalities.
Please? We sat on normal chairs, actually. I was interested. I'm an open-minded London guy, yeah? I'm open to ideas.
Is this a sex thing?
I don't... Mike is absolutely furious about the whole thing. And Ben's convinced it's a sex thing. And this is what I have to deal with.
It sounds like a sex thing and a con. And I won't be had.
So I did this course for a few days. You think Seinfeld, David Lynch, you think creativity. David Lynch has written a whole book about how he accessed deeper levels of creativity and stuff through this. There's a lot of kind of quite glamorous, basically a lot of glamorous Hollywood people are into this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Deeply damaged people.
Deeply sexy people, Ben. And people that, as a Londoner, I have one foot in their pond, essentially.
Of course.
In ways that neither of you will ever be able to understand.
You're certainly one rung up the ladder.
Mm. It's got a kind of excitement to it. And then you turn up and you're just in a small house in Shepherd's Bush with five or six other people sitting on chairs. I went for a few sessions at this place. On the final day, you get given... So this bloke took me up to a small room in the house in Shepherd's Bush.
Here we go.
Right.
Both of you are thinking he had sex with me and drained my accounts, all my accounts, somehow in the same act.
Drained you of fluid and money in 10 minutes flat.
He took me up to a room, and I think there was some flowers in a pot. There was a small amount of ceremony to it. But also, I kept on noticing the damp. There was serious damp. And I wanted to point out to the guy about the damp. Like, you've got damp issues down the road, right? Do you know what I mean? And maybe if you spent less time... Yeah.
You know, get off the celestial plane and get down to B&Q.
Yeah.
Get yourself an extractor fan.
And he gave me what... So basically, in transcendental meditation, the way it works is everyone has a mantra, which is a word or a sound that is your personal one.
Sausages.
Oh, if only. You can't choose your own other way. Obviously, that'd be great, because you want it to be something lovely. But Ben, when you've said sausages for the 44,000th time, would you still be enjoying the idea of sausages?
So what was yours?
You probably still would, actually. Because sausages are that good.
When I've become the grand sausage in my mind.
When you emerge from the cocoon. The perfect bratwurst.
I am the worst vice I was always born to be.
And I don't even need to be pricked with a fork. I'm one of those special ones where I just seep out the moisture.
Recently, I learned you're not meant to prick them at all. Anyway, that's a big topic we can't go into now. But
what, pricking sausages?
Don't prick them.
Don't prick them.
No, it depends on the sausage,
oh, yeah?
I think.
Okay. Yeah.
It's all about osmosis through the skin. As some sausages have an organic skin and some have a plastic sheath.
Plastic Savile sheath.
Yeah. Those ones you have to prick. Anyway, you have a mantra, which is one word, and you say it to yourself over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Not literally.
Yeah.
Using your mind's mouth.
Dehumidifier. They need to buy a dehumidifier. Dehumidifier. Dehumidifier.
I thought it was a joystick, but no, there's literally fungal spores in the air. There's spores. Yeah. Don't get more joysticks, less joysticks. Just open a fucking cracker window, mate.
So were you given a mantra then? Or so, you given, decided,
so the man took me up to the top floor of this it was a two-story house in Shepherd's Bush. I'd earned this after a few days, and he told me my mantra word, which I can't tell you.
Oh, come on.
It's a top secret mantra word.
Can we guess? We try and guess it?
How did he choose it? What's the process?
I don't know, right? But he gave me my word, and that is my word. So that is the word that goes over and over and over and over in my head. It's not a real word. It's like a sort of Star Wars character name sort of word.
Punvano.
How the fuck did you get that? What are the chances? Hang on a minute. You are Rory Stewart. Which means I must be Alistair Campbell. We're on an annual retreat together. It's going really well.
Punvano. Gistangor.
So anyway, I got my one, right? And basically, I just don't like it. It's a bit shit, it's my one. I just don't like it.
Oh.
And as soon as he told me it, I was like, oh, but I felt awkward. I thought, can you challenge this? So from then on...
Like you've been given a naff nickname or something like that.
It just doesn't have a nice syllables, the sound to it. It's a bit... Anyway, so we'd all sit there in a circle on these chairs. Everyone had their own mantra. Mm. Everyone was quietly sitting there. And you know, we do 15 minutes initially or 20 minutes. That is a long time.
Well, that's an episode of The Simpsons, isn't it?
Yeah. And an episode of The Simpsons has loads of words in it.
And none of them are punvano.
I find it really, it's really, really hard. I mean, it's hard, but also it's like, what is it that we're actually trying to do here? But then if you say that, they go, that's the problem, Henry. So basically, whatever you say, they'll say, no, you're not supposed to be trying. Okay, so I'm supposed to not be trying. No, you're also not supposed to not be trying. You're supposed to be beyond trying, Henry. Okay, so I'm trying to get beyond trying. How do I get? No, it's not about getting beyond trying. You're already trying if you're thinking about it. It's all that. So it's like, God. But also, I had this thing where I was asking him, I remember at one point, I was like, Seth, hang on, excuse me, am I supposed to be saying the word in my head? Because it's like, how quickly do I say it then?
Oh, it's back to your old acting problem, isn't it?
It's back to my old acting problem. It's like, am I saying it like...
trying to get it out of the way as quickly as possible?
Because what I would normally do is... yeah, I'll try and say it loads and loads really, really fast and then have the next 10 minutes to myself. If I can get the 20 minutes done in 10... That's what you try and do with a task, isn't it?
Like sort of brain lengths, just try and get them out of the way.
Yeah, and you've got 10 minutes to yourself at the end, and you've watched half an episode of The Simpsons. Or you're just sitting there thinking, Punvanu. Also, are you saying it or are you sort of being it?
It's like, yeah, like, should you hear yourself saying it in your head?
That's it. What happened was, it was a bit annoying, which I felt is something that I've experienced a lot in my life in different ways, was me in a room of people and a lot of them going, oh, yeah. I've done it, yeah.
Done what? Reached a state of enlightenment?
Yeah, transcended. And what that means is you, I don't know, that's the thing, it's never happened, but the thing that everyone's talking about.
They can't be pinned down, they won't tell you what that means.
They didn't tell you what it means, but it's something about, this word goes around and around your head and then suddenly you're kind of, you've entered a new level of thought or something, or existence, or you've kind of, I don't know. But I was just me there going, no, it's not happened. Oh, damn. Because I've just been sitting there going, how many times am I saying this per minute? Am I saying it right? I don't like this word anyway. Honestly, with a property with this much damp in it, you're never going to sell it. I honestly don't. I don't know what the end game is.
And I think if someone will come around and they'll recommend a chemically... injected damp-proof course, and that won't work.
No, it won't.
Maybe for 6 months you might feel like it's, but they'll be back, yeah. And those salts will come back out of the brick.
Yeah. And maybe you are just better off meditating now. Maybe that's the only way to escape the damp.
So when you're in the circle and other people are doing it as well,
are you in a circle? We've assumed you're in a circle. It might be in a line.
I think he said he was in a circle. Are your eyes closed, or are you able to see the other people?
Sorry, maybe it wasn't a circle. I think we were more in a line, and the main guy was at the front, who's leading it, and then.
Sort of more cult leadery and cult based vibes, yeah.
But he was just the most normal bloke ever. He's just like a totally average normal guy.
But that's not what you want, is it? You want a guy like wearing a kind of bejeweled caftan.
It wasn't a cult then.
He's allowed to be naked in his own house, isn't he?
He's allowed to be naked in his own house. Especially when the heating's that high and it's that humid. There's that much fungus everywhere. You know what it reminded me of? Because I'd be sitting there and I'd be looking around, looking at the other people, and I'd be aware that some of them, it was really working for them and it wasn't for me. It reminded me of exams, actually, at school.
Oh.
Where I'd have this thing where I'd sit down to start the exam.
And everyone else is experiencing nirvana.
Exactly. If I'd be sitting there and I'd be looking around, and everyone else would be just tearing through there. They'd already be on page two. You know, like second page of their essay. Everyone except, and I was just sitting there, just going, I'm here, I'm doing an exam. Oh, God.
Punvanu.
I mean, I can't believe, despite this is a huge, airy school hall, there's this much damp. I mean, how is it? How are they managing to have a damp problem here?
Okay, that was Extra Beans. Thank you so much for listening. And,
thank you.
We'll see
you
in March.
Your support.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.